Welcome to Deeply Human. This is a little conversation with Lila Kimi, a meditation teacher from Israel. And we want to explore into the qualities of the heart. We just finished a 5-day silent retreat where it was much about diving deep into freedom, which is connected very much to the cultivation and exploration of the heart qualities. So we want to talk a little bit about it. Lila, would you like to introduce yourself? Maybe how your interest was raised to walk the path of inner exploration?
Sure, happily. So I began my practice when I was 30. That was 20 years ago. And I had a very normal life, working as a spokeswoman, being in the midst of everyday life with all its complications and beauties, but really living a very normal kind of life. But I had this feeling in me that something was missing. And I was looking for meditating. And back then in Israel, there was hardly anything nearly close to it. But somebody told me about a Vipassana retreat. And very naively, I went there. So I had no idea what is it going to be about, or how will it be for me. It was a 10-day meditation retreat. Probably the hardest thing I've done in my life, the first one. But it changed me completely. So in a sense, I think I would say that the things I realized and met back then, 20 years ago, were the signpost for me to go to that direction, that peace is possible and love is possible. And the pain and agony that all of us have in normal daily life, as long as also with the joy, but another way of living inwardly and outwardly is possible. And I started to look for more and more forms like that, like this first retreat. And very shortly after that, because I couldn't find anything like that in Israel, I actually bought a ticket and went to India to practice. And I thought it's going to be for a very short while, but I ended up staying 1 year. All through this year I was practicing. I was going from retreat to retreat in monasteries in India and in Thailand. And when I returned to Israel, I was not the same anymore on many levels. Like the same person returned, but something very deep was changed and transformed. And from then on, this has been my life. My life has been evolving around practicing, learning, and teaching, which is another practice, of course. And my heart goes out to all those who would like to try this, and it's maybe the beginning or I'm not sure what it is about, and I just love to offer my support and to share the fruit of the practices I receive them with others. So this is what I do in Israel and actually all around the world.
Maybe I wrap it up for people who haven't been on a retreat. Mm-hmm. What we did here for the last 5 days. It was a retreat with meditation and yoga together. So we were cultivating embodiment, maybe we can say, and cultivating our mind, which goes beautifully together, or maybe it also has to go together. Yeah, at the beginning of the retreat, when we start to meditate, you step out of a busy, very busy life maybe, and the mind is still very active, and we try, firstly, we sit silently and try to, let's say, stabilize our mind and collect our mind. Yeah, it was very much about returning to the breathing. In walking meditation outside, it was very much at the beginning to really go back into your feet, to really have some kind of collection and concentration also. Yeah? And then It was from maybe second day, third day, more like easing into being, like opening up, not trying to maybe narrow down the perception a little bit to some special point, but more like a really opening up to life. In this retreat, for me, it was really that it became very clear for me that this is like the natural way of inner practice or spiritual path. The mind is so busy all the time, and then it has some room to quiet down, and maybe it has an object to get collected. Yeah, yes. And then it's really like automatically another intelligence can manifest, which yeah. has a lot to do with heart qualities. Mm-hmm. In the end, mindfulness and meditation, it is from the first place very much about friendliness, that you see what your mind is playing out or doing, and also the emotions that are coming and going. You always look at it with a friendly eye, and this in the silent retreat, this becomes much more strong or yeah. stable, and so many other heart qualities can get like access to. Yeah, yeah. It's like our busy mind is covering up it a little bit, like this, no?
Yeah, 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 exactly. So really, it is like that, and you described it really beautifully. So about the different kind of intelligence, because usually, normally, we are in a way locked up inside our minds and on half asleep on automatic pilot. And the things that govern our life often are not very pleasant. There are fears, anxieties. We can be really hard with ourselves, punishing ourselves, or getting really angry at ourselves at times, or feeling very guilty of things that happened in the past or the way we are. And oftentimes the inner landscape is quite painful in that way. And the inner movement is one of fear, you might say, in a general speaking term, something that is closed down and shut off, something inside really wants to protect, yeah. But it's quite a painful way to live. The practice and the teaching points out to a different kind of being in the world, with our hearts, with our minds, with our bodies. And friendship, for sure, it's one very major quality there. Wisdom is another one. Clarity is another one. And they all go together. They are good friends. Anyway, they bring each other as well. But for a start, just to be clear, we sit down, and out of the many ways in which the mind can go about and tell stories and repent about the past and dread, fear, the future, we just sit down very quietly and collect our mind back to the body, back to the breath. Mm. And this collectedness again and again and again, because that's a practice. The mind keeps running away everywhere, doesn't obey. It doesn't care we want to be collected. It just all over the place. But when we keep repeating it, just like in yoga, just like any other thing you start to develop in yourself, like a skill, like playing the piano or running, anything that you start, at the beginning will be more difficult and more difficult. But then it will change. It will change with practice. It will change with time. So after some time, the mind learns to rest more and more with this collectedness. And qualities like clarity can shine forth. And it's so important to be friendly, especially with those beginning steps. Because we might think, oh, this is so difficult. I'm so bad at it. Maybe it's not for me. I'm a failure. We might drop into our usual patterns of beating ourselves up. So recognition of what is going on usually is not enough. It has to be accompanied by acceptance, by friendship, by warmth of heart. And this is a good beginning already. And something in our protection layers, in our mechanism of protecting ourselves against the world, is getting a little bit more flexible, a little bit less intense. And the sun, so to speak, can shine through those heavy, thick clouds.
Yeah, it is really very much about experience, no? And a very lively practice. You have to really taste, no?
Yes.
If you just think about it, yeah, the mind has its limits in this way to
yes, of course,
to deal with it, no?
Like and if you just think about playing tennis, I don't think you'd go very far in tennis. But if you really want to learn and practice tennis, you have to do it. Simply do it. Dive into it.
Yeah.
And start. And fail. And again. And again. And actually, failure doesn't really exist. Because every moment that you notice that your mind has been scattering away, going away with zillion things, every moment you notice, it's a moment of awakening. It's a moment of mindfulness, and it gives birth, it gives rise to another moment of that. Maybe not immediately, but still it's putting the seeds of mindfulness in the ground.
I found it extremely helpful how you explained it, what you just said, this shift of view that you actually say, when I have this moment of, I'm gone away again, or my mind is again in some story, and I recognize it, that this is a moment of freedom, because we are so into this failure and self-judgment story.
Yeah, we're a bit addicted to it.
Yeah.
And it's so much about changing our point of view, because the point of view we have is dictating our experience. It dictates our well-being in the world, and usually some of the point of views we know, others are quite hidden under the surface. And it takes some time. For example, in a retreat, you start understanding what are the hidden agendas, hidden views that you have about yourself, about the world, about other people. For example, one may think, the world is not a safe place. So he or she will always feel the need to protect themselves. And this can manifest in many forms, but also in the form of closing down. And when you close down, you also close down to friendship and to love.
Mm.
But when we start to discover it in that way, is that true? Is it always like that, that the world is dangerous? Is it really true? We start to begin, to realize, it's not really that way. And this moment, for example, we can rest and relax. So we actually teach the mind another way of being in the world. And it's so much about practice. You can't just read about it.
Mm. Yeah, on our blog, we also want to point a little bit in this direction that how much the cultural narrative also influences us. Yeah, and how much... you were talking about this feeling of scarcity and like the money system, how it gives rise to these feelings, yeah,
yes.
Or this need for control or safety, how it gives rise to fear or so, and
A
practice can also lead that we come a little bit more aware of these cultural narratives that we inherited, yeah, or that we just. Yeah. Taken as a child, or that are very subtle.
Yes, yes.
Forming our perception in the end.
Exactly, exactly. We've been molded into those different way of thinking that are not necessarily really good for us or healthy for us. They're natural. It's natural to fear. It's natural to close down from pain. But it's not the best action, actually. Because when we close down, we lock the pain, we lock the fear inside, and all our inner landscape becomes one of fear. Actually, the counterintuitive movement would be to open up. Work with the fear, for example, and open up more and more. Maybe even befriend this inner movement that we call fear. What is this fear about? What is the view, the underlies, under the fear, there's some kind of view always. What is this view? Can I be friends with it? With the view? With the fear? Can I change it? Is there another way of looking at these things? Yeah. So little by little, we are, with a lot of care, like, in a way, artists of our life, of our lives, artists. And that includes a little bit being a doctor, a little bit being a good parent. Yeah, we're reparenting ourselves. Actually, I like really the simile of the grandmother. This energy of care and compassion and kindness. This is the way. This is the way our mind is working. I didn't create this mind. I didn't ask for it. It's just the way it is right now. And when I notice it, now I can make a difference. Make sense?
Makes sense completely. There are sentences sometimes in a retreat that really hit you. And what I don't have the exact sentence now, but it was a subject where you said, these habit patterns maybe of self-judgment or blaming ourselves or so, it comes because we care about the world.
Yes. Yeah.
It comes in the end from a good heart that is maybe through parenting, culture, life story, whatever. Yeah, it went into this habit pattern, but the root of it is a deep caring for the world.
Yes.
I liked it so much, because it points so much out to our, this innate goodness that there is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. They make this research with little babies so that they have this just this movement to help.
Yes.
And if you start rewarding them, they'll stop it. Yeah. But first of all,
that's sweet.
Yeah.
Yes. The model is really being the Buddha nature that we all have. And it's manifesting love and friendship and compassion easily, just like the sun does, with no problem. But then come the cloud, huge, heavy cloud, or many clouds, and they hide the sun. Now, if you think about it, they are really so tiny as comparison to the sun. But still, from where you stand and you look up, your view is covered. So just in the same way that the clouds are hiding the sun is always there. The sun really doesn't care if the clouds are there or not there. She shines. That's her nature. But we get confused and we think, this is who I am. I'm this cloud. I'm that cloud. It's so heavy. It's horrible. And when we take more steps into it, we start to examine. Also, clouds are a very beautiful thing. Yeah, they give us water at the end. They're part of the cycle of life. Yeah. And we can look, for example, at our fears or self-judgment, which is a very painful inner movement. And most people in most cultures that I know are suffering deeply from this one. But if you really take a good look at this one, you will hear this small little voice inside that will tell you, I want you to be better. I love you. Therefore, I want you to be better. I want you to have a better life. This is why I want you to be better. But of course, the method is horrible and it never worked. Not in education and not with ourselves.
Mm.
So the method should be changed, but not hating the self-judgment, understanding it went in the wrong direction and it stems out of ignorance. There's a good heart there, but it went in the wrong direction. So ignorance would be the first thing to cause a suffering. Out of ignorance stems all kind of trees that are not helpful for us, like greed, like hatred. They stem out of this state of mind. And when we take a good look at ourselves, we start to realize, this is ignorance talking right now. What can I do? How can I look at it in a different way? Start to explore. Sit quietly. Wait for life to come to you. There are many ways in which this art of meditation and of liberation can go, many, many rivers it can go. And it's good to know them, and it's a very privileged way to learn them on a retreat, because it's condensed, it's for many days in a stretch, there's guidance of teachers. I really recommend for those who can, and those who cannot go on retreat, there's still self-practice that you can do at home with guidance, like with your guidance, or people like you that give some guidance in community, which is wonderful. So it's really a good idea.
Yeah, or like you pointed out, the how important it is to meet like-minded people, or when I give courses, I always recommend there's a meditation group in my room, and I send the people there. And nice. Yeah, it's growing there, yeah, and it's very helpful, I think, the community, and also the exchange is so healing.
It is.
It's a big part, no?
Yeah, we see we are not the only one with this kind of mind problem, stories, histories. We see the others, and something in us also get triggered in way of compassion, for example. When somebody is sharing a painful story, we can really find ourselves there. And we practice. Also, compassion is a practice. All the qualities of the heart, they are there, but there are so many layers in between. And those layers are hiding the view, so to speak. Layers or clouds, these kind of similes we can use. It's good to learn how to work with the layers, but it's also equally good to understand that these layers, again, are not a mistake. They are there to protect, but they stem out of ignorance. So how can we work with them in order to relax them and even let them go so the sun can shine really beautifully?
Yeah, or let them show their goodness,
And on a retreat or even a meditation session at home, we can really explore that. We can see maybe a tightness in the heart or some emotional pain is coming up, and simply sitting very quietly with that, noticing it in the body, and then maybe asking this question: What is going on for me now? What is my belief at the moment? What is my view? Oh, I think I'm a failure, let's say. This is quite a common and painful view. I'm a failure. I failed at work. Now I'm no good in meditation. Oh, this is so painful to feel that way. What's behind that? Well, we can go to history and all of that, and father, mother, culture, of course. But also, I adopted this view that if I will feel that I'm a failure, maybe this will motivate me to be better. So there's some kind of kindness, twisted kindness, you might say, behind it. But the kindness is important. And then we can, with friendliness, say, oh, I see you want to help me. Thank you very much. But this is actually not a good way to help me, by punishing me or by hating me or whatever. So we take our energy away from those painful patterns. We explore them. We also able to say no thank you. We don't hate them. But then we go in a different direction.
Yeah, this is what you said in a former retreat, this, that there are basically just two inner basic movements. And the one is fear, which contracts and gives a feeling of separation and has some hardness to it, and it doesn't feel good. And the other one is this feeling of love, which wants to understand no matter what's showing up, and which has the capacity to do that also, no? But it's again, this is also like, you have to taste it a little bit, or you have to cultivate it, no?
Yes.
It's someone who has strong feelings of fear or inner movements of self-judgment or so. It's sometimes maybe a hindrance to start, yeah, because yeah, the mind maybe thinks, oh, it will take me away, or, yeah, or I don't have the capacity, or yes, or
exactly. And we need to know how to work with these painful states of mind and emotion. But yeah, those two different opposites of inner movements, you can say, there are quite a few ways to talk about them and quite a few lists to each and every movement. But at the end of the day, yes, it boils down to these two. Either you close down and the negativity is there with the fear, with the hatred, with the delusion, with the greed, and with other very painful states of mind and heart. Or you open up, and then there's love, compassion, friendship, kindness, generosity,
confidence,
energy. Yes. It's interesting. It's in the old text, the teachings of the Buddha from 2,600 years ago, that he was giving teachings for this group of monks and nuns that were practicing in the forest. And apparently, in this story, in the forest were all kind of creatures and ghosts, maybe, that really scared them. They really frightened them. Now, if you can relate to this kind of story, it's also as a myth. There's something in it for us to take. So they went back to the Buddha and they said to him, please give us another place to practice. This is too scary. We can't practice. We have fear all the time. So the Buddha, of course, didn't give them another escape route, but he did give them a weapon, he said, something to help you fight fear. Now, he was a warrior, so he was using these kind of words. We don't like those so much in our culture anymore. We can change them. But he was teaching them the practice of love. And it's a practice. Even though love or compassion or generosity, just like fear and hatred, they are in us as innate potentials. So we need to cultivate them. It's a practice to let the sun shine. It's a practice to move away the clouds or the different layers that cover them up. And in a way, when you look at it in yourself, this movement of love, it's an openness. It's a movement of openness. And then the fear is a movement of closeness. They can't coexist. It's either or, really. It seems like they do coexist, but when you really have a good look at them, moment by moment, they might alternate and change. When there is love, fear cannot exist, and vice versa. So we are really invited to feed this tree of love, to give it water, to give it nutrition, to give it our care, so it will grow in our hearts and minds. And the other trees that are less of our favor, less beneficial for us, like fear, like hatred, like delusion, will grow less and less, and little by little they will even might disappear completely. Yes, it's possible.
That's great. Yeah, you said that it's both. It's a fruit of the practice. For me, it's sometimes I have this feeling we get access to these energies, yeah, which are covered up, but which are there.
Yes.
And so it's this both. Yeah, we can work with our mind. We can form our mind. There's so much potential. I'm always thinking in the last time about this, that life is infinite.
Yes.
That every seed, every grass, every person, everything is a unique expression of life, yeah? And how much potential we all have in us, and how on the one hand it's hard work, on the other hand changes are possible also within weeks, yeah, if you have a taste. If you have some experiential taste, it's always good to have some theoretical background or to know what you are doing. Yeah. But on the other hand, it's the lived experience, which is like the intelligence or the wisdom of the body, which doesn't express in words. So it's not a matter of the mind to get in contact with this kind of energies.
Yes. Yeah, precisely. So we are really aiming to go below the normal everyday mind that is so busy with fear, with aversion, oftentimes, not always, of course. But then, in order to come back, it is not a teaching or a practice of the transcendent. This is it. Our daily lives are our meditation cushion. At the end of the day, it's not about living in a monastery somewhere far in India. It's actually about living our day-to-day life with our families, with our jobs, with our partners, with our children, with our friends, with this capacity, these wonderful capacities that we have as human beings to love, to care, to be open by life, to live with wisdom, to have the right response, stepping out of the reaction mode into the response mode, apropos responsibility.
Yeah, this was a subject here in the retreat. Yeah. It's such a great word, responsibility.
Exactly, yeah. the ability to respond, yeah. So stepping away from the automatic pilot of reaction, I think it's good for so many of us. And starting to have a different look inwardly. When we change our inner world, something in the outer world starting to change. It's a chain reaction. It has to be. We never do it just for ourselves. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worth it, really. Of course, we are the first to benefit. We will feel great about ourselves and about the world. But then it's contagious. It's touching everything, yeah. Just in the same way that fear is. It's easy to make people afraid or feel isolated or feel them and us and be with prejudice and projections. The mind is very much able to do it very quickly. But at the same time, it's able to do the opposite also quite quickly, which is very good news. It doesn't take much as human beings to be closed down and to be open up. So why don't we choose the better option for our lives?
Yeah, we are so creative. No?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it was also in the retreat this like a co-creation, like a deep participation in our lives.
Yes.
And yeah, we do it the one way or the other. Yeah,
yes.
With much awareness, moving into clearness and openness and love and all these qualities that really feel.
Yeah. Exactly.
So beautifully.
We have the power to do it. That's the nicest thing about it. We stepping back into our power. We are not helpless victims. Okay, this is my life. This is my history. This is the mind I have. No, this is just the beginning. And this moment, this very moment that you are listening to us right now, who knows where and when, but in this very moment, life is happening for you. And in this very moment, you can make a change.
Yeah, this is beautiful. Maybe. These are beautiful closing words for our little conversation here. It's a deep, deep subject. We could explore it for ages.
Yeah.
But see this little talk maybe as an appetizer to dive into practice, maybe. Get some more information, whatever. Yeah, may this talk help you to live a creative life with beauty and openness.
Yeah. Beautiful. May it be so.